40 miles an hour. Jerry Valesky from the extension office can attest to that. Jerry, you know, that's kind of part of the reason I like my hair so short, and I see you yours fairly short too, and you know, you get a lot of hair going, it's going to be going all over the place. It's going to be a nest for the birds, yeah, basically, right. Today, right? Pretty bad, but thanks for stopping by. And your title here, I see, is Nebraska Extension Range and Forage Specialist. So that's what we're going to kind of talk about, is giving the folks some tips on safe, efficient hay feeding during winter, because we think eventually we'll get some snow cover. Odds are we are going to get some and start, you know, those hay bales will come in handy. They'll start rolling those out, and we need to do it learn how to do that efficiently.
That's right. And so far this winter, obviously in this part of the state, we've been pretty open. We've had some small snows and a few rains here, and so surprisingly, we are still seeing a lot of ranchers with their cattle out on pasture, which is good, because when it comes to cost of production for a rancher, that feed is the number one issue. And so if they're out there grazing on their own, that's a big saving for them rather than feeding hay.
Sure.
And in some of my travels last week, I know I was through the Sandhills in a number of different places, and surprisingly, a lot of cows were still out on pasture. And, you know, it's wintertime, though, obviously, and so there's good amount of grass out there, because we had a really good summer last year with the rain and abundance of grass. Quality-wise, that's the issue. So most of these cattle that are on pasture now are being supplemented with some protein, and that's just fine. So they still do really well. Most calves, spring-born calves, of course, are weaned off, and they're probably back at home. Mm-hmm. And then the other great resource we have for winter livestock feeding is our corn stalks, the corn residue. And again, having it open like this without much snow or ice makes that corn stalk grazing go so much better. Mm-hmm. But we still, I always talk with producers on corn stalks that got to watch out as the quality goes. As the winter progresses with those corn residue, you have some declines in nutritional quality. If you get some snow or rain, that does tend to weather and reduce some of the energy content of that. And then with a day like today and the wind, you have a lot of leaves and husk blow off the field, those are the two most important, besides the corn grain itself that might be out there. The leaves and husks in a cornfield are the most important for cows grazing those. And then, these 60-mile-an-hour winds, they can go to the neighbor's field or into the ditch somewhere, so that's important to watch out for.
Well, you hope it just goes from one field to the next, so you're just kind of trading husks from field to field. You got an article here online about removing net wrap and twine.
Sure. We do get to that point of feeding, and for most ranchers, that begins after the first of the year, or, of course, if we have some significant snow or cold spells, and, of course, prior to calving. Mm-hmm. And there's been some work done related to that. For example, the net wrap, most of the net wrap is entwined that is used now is plastic, whereas in the old days it was what they called sisal or hemp twine. And whether it's ground or sometimes bales are just placed in ring feeders. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't get all that picked up or taken off the bale, and it does eventually get consumed by the animals. And, of course, something plastic is not going to be digested.
That's going to create some problems.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not going to be digested by the animal and could have a tendency to build up inside the rumen. And then likewise, too, in some cases where hay is ground prior to feeding. Again, people are encouraged to remove that net wrap, especially because there's so much of it, and it gets ground up into smaller fragments in mixing with that hay and fed. And so that, too, is obviously not digested by the animal and can accumulate, build up in their stomachs or rumens.
Mm-hmm. So just be aware of that and get that net wrap and twine off your hay there. And then do you want to talk about Reducing hay feeding losses a little bit?
Sure, yeah. And the other thing, too, that's very important, as I mentioned, for a rancher, livestock feed and whatever supplements they provide is the greatest expense for them to be supporting or maintaining a cow. And so anything they can do in terms of that hay feeding practices that make it more efficient and reduce waste is the biggest thing. So, for example, sometimes you might think if you're putting hay out for your cows, you're doing several days worth at a time, like 3-4 days ahead. So you're putting quite a bit out there. But studies have shown that that can actually be pretty wasteful, where that's too much for them at once, obviously, and they're going to eat more than they need, but more importantly, they can trample and waste a lot. So compared to only putting out a single day's worth versus 3 or 4 days, you'll certainly save a lot of hay.
We'd like to get ahead on things.
That's
It'd
right.
be nice to be able to do that, but you're going to,
of course,
we'd like to avoid going every day, but,
yeah.
You know, you're going to save money if you do that, so.
But, of course, there's always exceptions where, mm-hmm. It's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or
sure.
something, and so you're going to want to take some more time off or
right.
do less time with chores, so you're going to
sure.
double up things, and that's okay to do once in a while, but not to make a regular habit of it.
Yeah, they say here in this article by Ben Beckman, it says, believe it or not, cattle can trample, overconsume, manure on, and use for bedding anywhere from 25 to 45% of your hay when it's fed with no restrictions. That's a pretty large, percentage, almost half then.
There's a... there's no way of getting around some waste, even with a very common practice feeding hay is with a round bale feeder, those rings that you see out there, and the mm-hmm. bale is placed on the inside. And even with those, you'll have anywhere from 10 to 15% waste where the cattle, they'll pull out some hay out of there, but drop it on the ground, and then it quickly gets trampled or blows away, those types of things.
Do they, will they eat trampled hay, or do they basically they consider that edible once it gets walked on?
Yeah, that's true. Once they do pick through it, and they can pick through it for the best parts within that hay, and that's another part of it too. Sometimes you
probably just like us in that
exactly.
regard, right? We want the best part.
Yeah, if there's some real stemmy or weedy pieces in that bale of hay, they'll avoid those, pick through them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if hay, just like I say, it falls on the ground when they're eating it and gets stomped on or manured on,
mm-hmm.
yeah, then that's going to become waste.
Mm-hmm. And it says bale racks and rings to keep animals off the hay is a good
yep.
investment there. Racks with barriers around the bottom that prevent livestock from pulling hay loose with their feet and dragging it out to be stepped on. So, good, a lot of good tips here, and really, your website just has a wealth of information covering many, many topics, not just the one that we're centering on.
Sure, today. We've had UNL has had for a number of years now one of the better websites called beef.unl.edu.
Yes,
that is just a wealth of information. It was. I can't remember how many years now, but it started way back when having things on the web was the in thing to do.
Yep.
And so it's got a lot of great resources. Mm-hmm. We've got some newsletters, little podcasts, and a whole host of other sources of information that a person can access.
You have a Crop Watch podcast as
right,
well,
that's
right?
That's a counterpart for our mm-hmm. Beef Watch, mm-hmm. Which, of course, obviously covers the farming side of things, and our Beef Watch is all beef cattle production oriented.
Mm-hmm. What's the website that they want to go
again,
to?
Again, for the beef website, it's beef.unl.edu.
Okay.
Just do that search.
Beef.unl.edu.
It's the...
And then can they get the information like this article I see is cropwatch.unl.edu?
Well, that particular one also appeared in CropWatch, but we do have the counterpart called BeefWatch, and that would have been in there also.
Okay. So, or they can just Google and
UNL
extension. And,
yeah, that's right. So
you can find what you need there and probably search for a topic.
I think BeefWatch or... crop watch here in the wintertime, where it's when it's a little slow on the farming yep. front, they'll put some of our beef related topics on theirs as well.
There you go. Jerry, thanks so much for stopping by this morning. Was there anything else you wanted to mention to the folks listening today?
No, that sounds good. I just encourage you to, I hope everybody has happy holidays. And
yes.
Hold on to your hat today during the wind.
Please do. You're out there south of town on State Farm Road.
That's
and
right.
They can stop by and catch you at your office when you're in and talk to you, or they can – what's your phone number out there?
Oh, my phone number in terms of range and forage questions is 308-696-6710.
Okay.
Or, like you said, also just stop in directly at the Research and Extension Center on State Farm Road down there. Love to have visitors.
Okay. All right. Jerry Valesky, he's Nebraska Extension Range and Forage Specialist. He's been our guest to wrap up Mugs this morning.